You're listening to Cinematic Adventures, proud member of the Misfit Faction Media Network.
Good morning, Vietnam!
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
I feel the need for speed.
Roads? We're going, we don't need roads.
Snakes. Why did it have to be snakes?
Vultures? We don't need no vultures. I don't have to show you any stinking vultures.
You make me want to be a better man.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
He's looking at you, kid.
Not bad. I'm just drawn that way.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Cinematic Adventures. Don't forget, if you guys are listening to us on the go, you can find us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, basically anywhere you get your podcast. You can also find more of our content on our website, themisfitfaction.com. There you find links to not only this show, but some of our other shows like the Multiverse Fancast and MF Uncensored. And if you guys are watching on YouTube, make sure you guys leave a like down below and subscribe to the channel if you're not already, and you'll get some more fun and interesting content. We try our best anyway. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Paul, with me via the Zoom studio and, of course, from your mom's diary, Sean. Sean, how are you today?
I am just peachy.
Now, you may notice that we are already a little somber because we were debating on what we wanted to talk about today. And the biggest thing in entertainment, in movie TV entertainment right now, is the HBO Max documentary Quiet on the Set. For those of you guys who have not seen it, it is a behind the scenes kind of documentary, I guess is the best way to say it, detailing some terrible things that were happening at Nickelodeon during the early 2000s, especially. So, full disclaimer. We will be talking about some sensitive topics during this episode. We're going to be talking about some sensitive issues. There might be the occasional bad word or two. So please, if you guys, we take no offense if this is the thing that you want to skip, but make sure you guys check out one of our other videos in the meantime. So we're going to jump right into it. This was a 4-episode series on HBO Max. I think it debuted at time of recording about 2-3 days ago, right? Or maybe a little bit longer.
Monday.
So it's been about 4-ish days. And it exploded on social media. Like we did not know about it. In our house, I know Sean, you probably knew it was coming out, but we did not know about it until clips started popping up everywhere. So, what were your initial thoughts before even watching it?
Well, we knew of certain things that were going to be talked about in the documentary. Obviously, we had found out, you know, a while back, you know, Drake Bell had finally come public with what had happened to him. And we just knew that this was going to, obviously, we're going to find out exactly what did happen. I mean, initial thoughts, holy Jesus. Like, so for anyone who is listening, you know, I think we've said this numerous times. We were both born in 1987. We are both children of the 90s. I can honestly say that I never watched the remake of all that. Maybe an episode here or there. I never watched, you know, the later shows, Drake and Josh. A lot of that was kind of came at a time when we really weren't into these types of shows anymore. I mean, just the stuff that was going on is it's insane to the point where you can't believe this actually happened. Mm-hmm. And I have to say I was angry after watching this. I was like, how certain people aren't being held accountable. And I'm not just the producer, Dan Schneider. He's obviously been, you know, canceled, and he's probably no longer working in Hollywood. But I mean, the executives at Nickelodeon, I mean, those are the people that you want to look at and go like, man, I hope you guys are sleeping well at night, because you probably are just despicable, really are, with what you allowed to happen. And of course, after every episode, you have that disclaimer saying, Nickelodeon prides ourselves on the fact that we, you know, yada, 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 did this, did that. It's absolutely hollow. I mean, you know, not a single executive from Nickelodeon was interviewed for this documentary. They nobody. So that was my initial thoughts. It was very disturbing, very unsettling. And you feel for these kids. I mean, there's 7 or 8 cast members from various shows that you see throughout the 4 episodes, but we'll get into that, obviously. What about you guys?
So we went into it knowing that this was what it was going to be about, right? We, you know, it was all over TikTok. It was all over Twitter. Like, it was all over the place. Like, some clips were popping up. We didn't know that it was going to be – we thought it was just going to be about Dan Schneider and It turns out that it isn't. And we were shocked when we started seeing cast members. So as Sean mentioned, we were big fans of the original series of all that. Like, we grew up with that cast and, you know, our Kenan and Kel and Snick and Secret World of Alex Mack, like that kind of generation. So late 90s we were still the Nickelodeon kids. Early 2000s. Now, I remember I watched The Amanda Show because it was the only spinoff of all that, quote unquote, spinoff, like the only cast member that besides Kenan and Kel. So I did follow it. And Amanda Bynes was very talented. And it is a shame. By the way, full spoilers for this. We're going to get into details with, of course, sensitivity and class. But Amanda Bynes is not interviewed at all in this. And the first episode really revolves around her and her kind of superstardom. And it made me rethink a lot of these celebrities. Now, obviously, it is no secret that child celebrities get messed up. You talk about Corey Haim and Corey Feldman, Eddie Furlong, Drew Barrymore. They are all very honest. Macaulay Culkin, they all talk about the cost of being a child star. And it's not just, you know, drugs or alcohol. A lot of times it's finances. Like, Macaulay Culkin was famous for fighting with his parents in the 90s about his money. Like, the parents wanted to, our mom and dad wanted to do. What was that?
He was successfully emancipated from his parents, as we find out later in these episodes. Amanda Bynes tried to emancipate herself from her parents and was unsuccessful with that.
So, like, all this stuff is not new, and especially, like, in the generation of Me Too and all that stuff, I'm happy that finally some of these people might, like, get legitimate justice. I would love to see a sequel to this and have it focus on Disney. But unfortunately, Disney's Disney. They are a juggernaut financially. Nickelodeon's not what it was in the 90s and early 2000s.
Not at all.
I hate to say it, Dan Schneider was responsible for the Nickelodeon boom. And
yeah, he was. I mean, you talk about it, and they even go into it. I mean, he was an actor. He had been in a very successful 80s television show called Head of the Class. And that's where he met one of the other actors, Brian Robbins, and they were the two that created all that, I believe. And then I always thought they created Kenan and Kel too, but apparently they did not. Kenan and Kel was created by a totally different creative team. So that was interesting to me. But yeah, they were brought in. All That was very successful, was a very huge hit. And it was really the Amanda Show that really put him into the stratosphere, because that was his baby. He was the sole creator of that show. And, you know, obviously he then goes on to create the Amanda Bynes Show, What I Like About You, which I did not know.
Yeah.
He ends up leaving that show because he doesn't get along with the other guy who's writing it with him. And there's issues obviously on set with him. And he goes back to Nickelodeon. Nickelodeon takes a back, hat in hand. And that's when his empire really takes shape with the redo of All That, you know, Drake and Josh, Victorious, Zoe 101, all of those shows.
Yeah.
You know, and it was, he was the live action, you know, guru at Nickelodeon. I mean, that was it. I mean, they didn't really do any other shows besides his, except for, was it the Ned's Declassified Survival Guide or something like that?
Something like that,
I'll get into that a little later too.
Oh, okay.
I'll get into those cast members in a little bit, because they pissed me off this week.
Yeah.
So
let's start with the very first episode. So the show is presented documentary style. They do a lot of behind the scenes footage of some of these things. And the first episode, they don't have a single quote unquote star in the first episode. And it really revolves around introing the early career of Dan Schneider and how he was behind the scenes. Now, they have two female former writers on the show, Chrissy Stratton and Jenny Hilgen. All right. And they basically talk about how terrible Dan Schneider was behind the scenes. They were the only two female writers on any of the shows. They had to split a salary, which is not legal. And it's against it's against the Writers Guild.
That's against the Writers Guild, yeah.
And so, like, that's a big no-no. And you don't mess with the Writers Guild or the Screen Actors Guild. It leads to a lot of trouble. I mean, look at it. Writers Guild went on strike for a couple of months, and we're still feeling it in terms of content. So both women really, they discuss what was happening behind the scenes. And it's weird because Dan Schneider, none of them accused him of like touching kids or anything like that. He was never like, he was just an asshole. And he created this toxic work environment where he let that power get to him and he used that power. And it's funny because like I was talking with producer Melanie afterwards and we were both kind of discussing Dan Schneider and what his issue was and the fact that he had all this power and he used it to put these people into situations that they normally wouldn't be in. The footage of all that Ariana Grande stuff, like all the things he made her do, like it sucks too, because like as a kid, as a kid watching some of these things, like, you know, like people getting like splat on or things squirting at them, like that was all just comedic, like for kids, that was just slapstick. And I never thought about it. And now as an adult, especially in the context that they presented in the show or in this documentary, I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. All right. Yeah.
I mean, but you didn't have that scene of Mark Summers, the old host of he's watching the clip on an iPad of the Ariana Grande with the water bottle. And he looks up at the camera and goes, did this actually air on Nickelodeon?
It was the best.
Like, yeah.
It was the best thing to have Mark Summers on there as kind of like it wasn't all bad in Nickelodeon. Like there was some great timing, great content, you know, like I don't want this whole thing to taint the entire image of Nickelodeon because I like to think that there is a lot of success, a lot of happiness. Like, you know, Kenan Thompson went on to be one of the biggest stars from all that. Kel Mitchell still does stuff, but like, in all honesty, we grew up with this stuff. That's the thing that hurts the most.
We did grow up with this. And as I stated earlier in the episode, you know, we were kind of at that age level where when this stuff was all going on, we weren't really watching these shows. And, you know, and what you just said about you don't want to taint Nickelodeon as a whole, just look at, if for anyone who hasn't seen it on Hulu, there's a documentary called The Orange Years, and it's about the creation of Nickelodeon and what Nickelodeon began as and what it turned into.
Wild.
And you see where at the beginning and what it, you know, into the late 90s, what it was, and then what it became is what we see in this documentary. And it is just an absolute 180. And, you know, it's, again, who knows, in a couple of years we might find out about something that happened back then too. I don't know that. We will never know that. We don't know. But we can honestly say that Nickelodeon did not have a reputation like this back in like the 80s and the 90s and stuff like that. It wasn't until this stuff started coming out that it really got this bad, you know, taste about everyone's mouth about it. But it is just, I mean, they go back into it later on in the episodes about these like little videos with Ariana Grande and stuff like that. But I mean, like, oh my God, it's just unbelievable. Yeah.
It's funny because like at the time that this was happening, like Sean said, we had no idea. Like, this is all a lot of new stuff for us. Like, obviously back in, I think 2013 is when I want to say the vocal coach got arrested in 2003, 2004.
Oh, the Brian Peck. Yeah, it was like 2003, 2004.
So that was a big scandal at the time. And
I don't think that was a story. Like, I don't think it was, you know, again, this is 2003, 2004. This is not where we are now as a society where, you know, Twitter and all that stuff where these stories are just plop, plop, plop right away. Like, but we were 16 years old. I don't recall there being a pretty significant story in the news about a guy accused of molesting a child actor. And he worked on Nickelodeon. Like, I don't remember any of that. It was all swept under the rug.
And what's even crazier is we were Drake Bell's age when this happened. Like, we were.
I didn't know he was older than us. I thought he was younger than us.
I remember, like, I watched a fair amount of Drake and Josh. I did enjoy it. Like I said, I watched the Amanda Show, and I didn't know that Dan Schneider was actually a character in the Amanda Show.
He was the character in Good Burger. He was the manager in Good Burger.
We're going to have trouble watching that movie now.
Was he in Good Burger too?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
They cut ties with him quite some time ago. But yeah. So let's move on to the second episode, because the second episode is where they start bringing in a lot of the former cast members. So go ahead. Yeah,
but real quick, I mean, that's in episode one, Katrina Johnson. I haven't seen her in 30 years. the little girl from all that, and you hear her story. She doesn't, and again, listen, she doesn't accuse Dan Schneider of anything. She clearly makes it known that when she was cast in the show, Dan Schneider was like, "You're the one I wanted to be in the show. You're my favorite. You know, you're the one I'm gonna like write a lot of stuff for." And you know, she was like, you know, she Very says popular. It. I was probably like her hit the favorite child. They actually approached her to do her own TV show. And then it just changed on a dime. She was told to stop being fat. You know, then Amanda Bynes comes in and she's like, what the hell? And then it's like, she goes through puberty and then they're like, oh, you're too, now you look too much like a teenager. So you know what? We're just gonna fade you out of the show. And then you see Amanda Bynes gets her own show and she's just like, oh, okay. You know, whatever.
So Amanda Bynes jumps in, and this, like I said, the second episode really focuses on how she got super involved. So she was, I didn't know she was discovered doing a routine at the Laugh Factory. That's really cool. But basically,
yeah.
She gets discovered by Dan Schneider, and she becomes an instant success, which I think at the time when she first got introduced, I didn't like her. But then she had her running bits, like the Dear Ashley was very popular, very famous. And don't get me wrong, like, watching her, especially in this documentary, like watching the footage of her, she's fantastic. Like she's got really good comedic timing. She's got a lot of energy. And then she went on to be semi-successful. She did a couple of movies. She's the Man. I'm trying to think what else there's
a What a Girl Wants.
What a Girl Wants. She's the Man.
Fat Liar.
I love Big Fat Liar, which makes it even worse because that's about a movie executive. Oh God. So
and he's just stealing a script. He's not doing anything else nefarious, but
I mean, he does assault a child several times physically. Anyway, but so moving forward now, Amanda Bynes, it has had some very public mental health issues. And it sucks because at the time we all just equated it to, oh, former child star, couldn't hack it, couldn't maintain her, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like same thing happened with Britney Spears. People just thought she was losing her mind. And now it's years later and they're like, oh, a lot happened that we didn't know about. And the same thing now with Amanda Bynes. And I really hope that this documentary changes people's, not only people's opinions on Amanda Bynes and Drake Bell, which we'll talk about in a second, but I hope it leads to some sort of revitalization of their careers because, like, you know, they disappeared. But
you never connected it to anything that had to do with stuff behind the scenes. And I'll be honest, they never really connected in the show with her. In terms of that's what caused her, you know, with the issues she's had, they do go into a pretty significant thing where, you know, she's growing up, she's hitting an age like around 15, 16, and she's starting to do things that her parents are not particularly fans of. And, you know, they're telling her no. And they even say in episodes like, well, she doesn't like the word no. She doesn't want to hear that. So she ends up trying to basically emancipate herself from her parents, and she gets Dan Schneider to help her. And that leads to her parents pretty much banning Dan Schneider from her life. It's like, we're done with you. We don't respect anything about you anymore because you actually went along and did this, you know? And so that, I don't know if it's that is what, you know, begins the issues with Amanda. That I can't say, but you know, that's the one like weird thing that happened that they really focus on in the documentary with her. Other than that, it's all like sunshine and rainbows with her on the show. I mean, there's no talk about any incidents that happened with her on the show. There's no incidents that she wasn't involved with either of the child predators that were apparently running around Nickelodeon scot-free. So, you know, you don't really know what has happened to her, but you can only guess. But yeah, I agree with you. I hope this opens people's eyes. I hope she gets the help that she needs. And maybe like Lindsay Lohan, she can kind of get a revitalization to her career maybe and you know, start fresh. Because I have to say, I mean, her movies are fun. They're enjoyable. You know, so I would really like to see her come back. And same for Drake Bell.
Yeah. So you brought up something that is actually a theme in this, and it's the involvement of the parents. Because a lot of times when people say, oh, child celebrity, like Drew Barrymore's a perfect example. Her mother was the worst kind of parent you could have as a child star. Like she was out at clubs at 2 o'clock in the morning and when she was like five. Drew Barrymore always talks about like her past and how bad it got. But all the parents that were in this documentary were so incredibly supportive supportive. And they were like, we tried, we did all these things. And I hope it's all true. And I hope it's not the parents just kind of spinning it. Because you get introduced, you don't meet the girl, Brandy, right? That's the actress's name. Her mom does the interview for this. And the same thing, the mom was like, we need to, like, I'm taking my daughter out of this, like, blah, blah, blah. Drake Bell's dad is very involved with this. I forget which of the male actors also. Is it Giovanni Samuels?
No, it's the, what's his name? I can't remember his name. He was on the...
Brian Hearn?
Might have been. His mom is also interviewed. He was on the All That. He was the...
One of the new...
African-American actor. Yeah, was one of the new cast members of the new All That. And the mom comes on and he gets cast. He's very excited. And in the very first episode, they have him like selling cookies to Frankie Muniz, but obviously, you know, looking like he's selling drugs.
Yeah.
And the mom says in the interview going like, so what, the black kid is the crack dealer? Like, really?
Yeah.
Like, that's where you're going with this? And of course she's like, oh, stop it. You know, it's just a show, yada, yada, yada. And she even says, the mom says, like, they weren't ready for me. I was not going to keep my mouth shut.
Yeah. So we find out that.
And it led to her son basically losing his job.
Yeah. We find out that the parents were actually kept offset and they were, the kids were pretty much, you can't do that anymore. Like that's, it's super illegal. Like to have. Yeah. So the way I equate it is one of our favorite movies, Superbad. We love Superbad. Superbad's a great movie. You know, we saw it a few too many times, but that's neither here nor there. Because the actor, Christopher Mintz plays, was underage at the time, his mom had to be on set while he was doing his sex scene. Like, his mom watched that scene. So that's where, like, that's part of Hollywood law. Like, that is, I think it's actually, like, an actual law in the state of California. But we find out that the kids are kind of handled by PAs, and they do bring up PA Jason Michael Handy. With a name like Handy, Jesus Christ, come on, guy. But we find out that he would stay in touch with some of the younger females. And like, they talk about it. They're like, he was a good looking dude. He was polite. Like, he, like, the parents loved him. He was the ultimate predator. And in a time where the internet was just getting, like, this was AOL Instant Messenger days, he started sending nude photos of himself to a child, to a kid. Yeah. And the trauma that that probably did to that poor little girl, like,
I mean, you can only imagine what that girl went through. And she had to go through it again. She had to testify against him. She was one of the few children who did testify, yeah. Which, you know, God bless her that she was able to do that. And I mean, just again, it's like you hear this and you're just, I mean, dude, does anybody do background checks? No. Now, maybe they'll go, now with social media and with all this stuff, I mean, it's very hard to get away with stuff like that. But I mean, back then, it's still like.
Well, to the point where.
I mean, like, and.
To the point where Brian Peck worked on The Suite Life of Zack and Cody after this. And then that blew my mind.
That pissed me off because they tie it in to the reporter, like, mentioning all the famous people that sent in letters to the judge. And one of the letters was from, like, a director and his wife of certain Nickelodeon shows. And he gets a job on a show they're working on. Another show with freaking kids on it.
So oh my God, you're getting so fired up. I love it.
Because, like, they deny that they had anything to do with that. I said, okay, but if you deny having anything to do with that, why did you allow it to happen?
So my question is, so obviously they were a bunch of these celebrities, including, and Ryder Strong and Will Friedle got called out by Drake Bell recently about all this. And they sent in letters of support, just like how Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis did one. The question that we'll never get an answer to, or a direct answer, is, did they know what he was getting charged with? Did they know what was happening? Or did they... Like, Sean, if I texted you and I was like, hey, man, like, if I texted you and I was like, hey, man, I need a letter of recommendation, you would be like, all right, cool, I got you. I could put you down as a reference and you'd be like, oh, yeah, he was the best employee I ever had. I've never worked for Sean. So the question you run into is, like, they could have been like, hey, I got a traffic ticket and I want character references so that the judge will, that could be the message they got. And I'm not defending them. Like, I'm just trying to play the devil's advocate, because people knew, like, people know, and they just ignore it. Like, they talk about the one kid, Kyle Sullivan. He was on the show. And I remember these kids. Like, I remember watching them. Mm-hmm. And Kyle Sullivan talks about going to a party at Brian Peck's house, and the John Wayne Gacy picture. Like, what?
He's pen pals with a serial killer of young men.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy and he's saying this, and he's just like, I don't know what to say to this. Like, I have to show other people this. And the parents came in and saw, he was showing it off to the families that were coming over his house. And nobody was just like,
"That's a little weird." So it's funny, because like, we talked about it while we were watching it, and John Wayne Gacy actually made a lot of money selling photos, like paintings, and mm-hmm. like we also grew up at a weird time where there was a huge interest in serial killers. Well, and there still is. Like, look at shows like Only Murders in the Building, podcasts, mm-hmm. like all this stuff. There,
Netflix is huge on, you know, all these different murders.
Making a murderer, like, yeah, like, it's huge. And that was a big thing. Like, Dahmer got mail. Like, all these serial killers have, like, they did the SVU episode on it. Svengali, mm-hmm. one of the best episodes of the show. So, like, part of me is like, I mean, people did it. Like, I know people did it. Like, it's not my cup of tea. Like, but... Mm-hmm. You know, it is what it is. And even like, if I ever had the opportunity, like on our show MF Uncensored, like, comment and subscribe, to do an interview with somebody like that, like, I'd probably jump at the chance. But so this episode,
his house, the way they describe this guy's house, I mean, it's typical child predator type behavior. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got a house, like a garage that's Planet of the Apes themed. He's got stuff all over his place. It's kid friendly, and he's a grown ass man, and you're just like, there's something not right about this. He's walking around the set with pickles. Like, he's in the episodes and they're like, tickle my pickle, and I'm like,
or the giving the pickle to Ray Romano through the hole.
Ray Romano, I mean, and I'm just like, I mean, again, you're a kid, you're watching this, you're probably thinking, oh, this is funny. You know,
I like pickles.
You watch it now and as an adult, and even some of the people being interviewed going like, I watched this as a kid and I had no problems with it. Watching it now, I'm just like, how did they get away with this?
So it's even funnier because, like, obviously, if you guys ever see the studio that we work out of, so you can see some of it in the background. There's, you know, memorabilia and stuff like that. Like, I got my wall of autographs. I've got all this stuff. But his... And obviously he worked in Hollywood. So like, if I worked in Hollywood, I'd have some cool shit around the house too. But he specifically designed it so that it was displaced from reality. Like, mm-hmm. to have an entire basically Planet of the Apes movie set in your garage, it's because it disassociates from reality. So moving forward though, they don't talk about just him. They also talk about the fact that the kids were forced to do things that were either degrading, borderline torturous. I remember that what was it, dare show that they had. I forget
the on-air dares. I knew nothing about that. Like, I had no recollection of that. I didn't watch it.
I vaguely remember because I did watch the new when they brought back all that with the new cast. I did try it. Like, I was like, dude, like, that's our childhood. But I remember the on-air dares, and it sucks because, like, for adults, that stuff would have been... Like, I watched Fear Factor. I loved Fear Factor as a kid. But I did not remember some of the stuff on the on-air dares, like the scorpion in the mouth. They, like, basically tortured somebody by dipping them into, like, horrific stuff. And
pouring worms into a bathtub. I mean, it was just crazy. It was crazy.
Sliming is one thing. Like, sliming, pie slipping. Yeah. Like, I liked to Figure It Out. Figure It Out was fun. Like, you know, it got messy and stuff like that. But it was never, like... borderline, like, that was some, like, torturous stuff, and these poor kids are talking about it, and, like, it's just, it's rough.
But even just regular skits on the show, I mean, the coffee and sugar one that they talk about,
oh my god,
they're downing pure sugar, and like, I'm like, nobody thought to be like, Wait, this is probably not good for them. Nah,
or,
not
or
at
think,
all.
What about Randy and Mandy? You remember Randy and Mandy?
Randy and Mandy with the chocolate, yeah.
I mean,
like, again, they really don't go into the original all that. Like, they don't focus on anything that they felt was, like, a little too much on that show. And that's, and again, I can only remember because I literally have not watched all that in forever. But thinking back, and I'm like, old all that? I don't remember a lot that could be thought of as being a little over the top. I do recall, though, near the end, when, like, Nick Cannon came on the show and all that. And they even say it to the kid Leon. The kid Leon, who came in season six, yep. They have him playing this character called Captain Nose. He's got elongated nose on. He's got a cape and, like, you know, tights.
Phallic nose.
And he's like, they put the noses on his arms, and they look like dick and balls.
Yep.
And then he sneezes and basically does a cum shot into a girl's face. I mean, it's like...
Mind blowing. Like, in what world? Again, this is, like, don't get me wrong. I think it's incredibly healthy for people to, like, make jokes and make, like, like that locker room talk to a point, right? You know, I'll never be intentionally degrading to someone or anything like that. But, like, we've all made jokes that are completely off color or dark or whatever. But, like, they use their positions of authority to make these things real because it made them, they boosted their self-worth. But
look at the Amanda Bynes character she plays on her show, Penelope Taint.
I never noticed that. I always thought it was Tate, T-A-T-E. And I thought she was a funny character. But I was like, oh my God, they got away with that. Holy crap. So the third episode does end, though, with the realization that Drake Bell is the kid that was abused, because that record was totally sealed when it happened because he was a juvenile. Juvenile records are sealed. The accuser sealed. So people wondered for a long time. And I did. It was wild to hear, like, Dan Schneider was calling people around and being like, hey, was it you? Or, like, the way that they told them that Brian Peck was off the show was mortifying. Like, hey, one of you guys got sexually assaulted, so we fired Brian. All right, have a nice day, guys.
They have them sitting at a table. They tell the parents to leave. And this isn't, and let's be clear, this is not Dan Schneider. Oh, no. These are the lawyers from Nickelodeon who are a part of this.
So Drake Bell.
And the kids are even saying this too. It's like, oh.
Yeah, so Drake Bell then tells his story. And, man, like.
The whole third episode is strictly on Drake Bell and his whole story. And it's a tough watch. It's heartbreaking. It really is heartbreaking.
He talks about being groomed by this guy and how this guy inserted himself into his life and became obsessed with him. And I did finally like that. Drake Bell, his dad was super aware of this. And he's like, I don't like this guy. I want you to stay. He is not to be alone with my son ever, because obviously he can't get him fired. He's, you know, Brian Peck had some Hollywood pull at the time. And, you know, who's this actor kid's dad? Like, it sucks. Yeah. But once he got the mom involved and got, you know, Drake Bell's father out of the picture, like, we won't go into the detail. I hope you guys, like, don't mind, but we don't want to get too far. But I do like how he did. Obviously, Drake Bell's had some issues since, and we'll talk about that in a second. But I'm glad, like, he was able to get at least some justice in this regard. But obviously, I think it would be different now. It'd be very different now because the guy admitted on the phone, like, everything he did to Drake Bell. Like, he was like, I did it. Like,
got the authorities involved, and he basically, like, committed to everything over the phone.
Yeah.
And I have to say the best thing I heard in that episode was when Drake Bell says, when he went to court, and the side of the courtroom behind the defendant, Brian Peck, was full with famous people. And he got up. He's 13 years old, 12, 13, 14 years old. He looks them dead in the face and he says, I will remember. You may not remember me, but I will remember all of you standing behind that man who did all these unspeakable things to me.
And it's even more wild.
And that's what I will remember. And I'm like, and
what's crazy is Drake then went on to Drake and Josh, the height of his stardom.
Yeah, the show hadn't even started yet when all this happened. Mm-hmm. Like, he hadn't even filmed the pilot. So, like, the fact that he was able to continue with his career and his life, and obviously, as we know, he ended up having issues beyond Drake and Josh. But, like, and he even says, like, when I was on set, I felt like I was normal. Mm-hmm. You know, when he was with, you know, the cast and all that stuff and performing the show. And we have to say one thing, and I don't know if it was just the questions he was asked, but he doesn't say one bad thing about Dan Schneider.
Right. Dan, so he goes out of his way to say that Dan Schneider was the only person that called him after all of this. I think that was more Dan Schneider protecting himself and his assets.
I agree. It's, you wanted to think, oh, maybe this guy did have a little bit of a soul, but you really, he can't think that. I think as you're saying, it was probably him just being like, oh no. And, you know, as we find out, he did not send a letter in for Brian Peck, you know, but, and that scene where they start listing off all the celebrities that sent in, you know, letters. And again, as we said earlier, Will Friedle and Ryder Strong they talked about this on the podcast, like, I think like a month or two ago, they came out because this is when it was all going on. And, you know, they told their side of the story. They knew him from Boy Meets World and they were friendly with him. And, you know, they were not told what had happened. Do you believe them? Do you not believe them? We don't know. I mean, I think they're good standing people. So I'd like to believe them that they were not told, but it just doesn't look good.
Right.
You know, you had the parents from Growing Pains sending in letters. They were victim blaming.
Yeah.
The mother of from Growing Pains literally said in the letter, I think he was coerced. Are you serious?
Well, it brings up also, there's been a lot of response to all this, right?
Yeah.
And the biggest one from Drake, or in terms of Drake Bell, was Joshua Peck. And because obviously they were inseparable. They were Drake and Josh. You know, that was a big thing. Josh Peck at the time of recording released something like a day or two ago. And he's like, I had no idea. I am appalled. Like, so, and that leads to the next question, right? So obviously Drake and Josh starts, Brian Peck's out, like he's gone. And so they probably still had issues. They definitely still had issues with Dan Schneider, but suddenly this predator was gone. And it seems like Drake Bell didn't, nobody knew until recently.
No.
So yeah. I do kind of believe Joshua Peck in terms of, like, I had no idea, because obviously Drake Bell's also an actor. He put that in a box, buried it deep down, and it only started to claw its way out recently. So he did issue a statement, but then you wanted to mention some Ned's Declassified Survival Guide.
The three of them host their own podcast, and, you know, they've apologized for it, but they were making fun of it. And they were saying, oh, well, this never happened on our set. And I'm like, well, first of all, your set wasn't controlled by this guy. Your set was run by a totally different person. But why would you think this is funny? Mm-hmm. Like, in what part of your mind would you find this to be amusing? You're chuckling. You're like, oh, geez. Oh, I can't believe all this didn't happen on our set.
Lucky us.
You know, like, just classless stuff. Like, I'm sorry. Like, just... This is what people just piss me off. It's like, just stop. Yeah. Stop. But it's not going to stop because, I mean, all these actors, and let's establish, though, like, a lot of the big stars in that stable, they don't talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was no Amanda Bynes, obviously, wasn't interviewed. Miranda Cosgrove wasn't interviewed. Ariana Grande wasn't interviewed. Jeanette McCurdy wasn't interviewed. But Jeanette McCurdy, I think, is a big factor in why this all came about.
Yes.
Because she's the one that, like, disappeared from Hollywood. She's the one that wrote an autobiography. You know, she's the one that didn't appear at the, you know, Lifetime Achievement Award for Dan Schneider. But, I mean, there's a lot of people who didn't speak about this stuff. Is it because they just don't want to get involved? Is it because nothing happened to them? We don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know...
So as of now, like, obviously Dan Schneider's had responses to this, and he's like, you know, he tried to defend himself to, like, and just, he's getting lampoons on social media. You know, like, he would say things like, The spokesperson claimed that everything was approved by network producers and that some adults project their adult minds onto kids' shows, drawing false conclusions about them. So here's a debate that I had with producer Melanie, a very healthy debate. We both agree that there is an exceptionally fine line about creating content for children while still having things for the adults, right? So my perfect
Rugrats.
Rugrats, great example. They have Grandpa has a porno in that. Come on. But here's my perfect analysis. I find that Shrek is the best example of, we know that there are adults who are bringing their kids to this movie, so we have to throw some things in for the adults to keep them from losing their minds. Okay, yeah. Cool. I like that. You know, like they throw in a lot of innuendos and stuff like that, and there's such an incredibly fine line. I think that having an adult joke or two in a movie said by an adult character is one thing. That's totally fine. But adding sexual dialogue or innuendo for children, mm-hmm. like they cross the line so many times. But the thing about the TV shows, especially this age, right? So these are all teenagers. So the teenagers were watching the shows. My parents maybe watched shows with me when I was little. They watched Muppet Babies with me. But they did not watch Nickelodeon. They didn't watch all that with me and Kenan and Kel with me. That was like, I'm sitting there watching while they're like reading or doing whatever. We did not have somebody supervising us watching these shows. So in our little children minds, we thought nothing of it. Like people getting hit in the face with like slime. Haha, that's funny. Now we realize it's a little bit different. So we're getting towards the end of our episode, but I want to just say that like, I'm appalled by what happened. But I'm also like so impressed with the people that spoke up, even the ones that weren't necessarily abused in a sexual way, the ones that just the psychological abuse. And I really hope that Nickelodeon gets their shit together. And
yeah, I totally agree with what you just said. You know, some of these kids really haven't done anything with their professional careers since Nickelodeon, you know, whether it being that they just weren't given the opportunities or, you know, and or anything like that. But you know, and they were honest. They were just saying, you know, we were kids. You know, yeah, that was weird, but you know, we're being paid to do these things, and you know, this is an opportunity. But like, you look back on it now and as an adult, and I'm like, oh my God, like, how did we get away? How'd they get away with this? Or you know, oh, he was really cool to us on set, stuff like that. And you know, I mean, you know, again, that's just the actors. I mean, we talk about the. You know, obviously the mother of Brandy, the girl who, you know, was sent the pictures, your Drake Bell's father, who, oh, I feel for that man.
Yeah.
I mean, that man was just screwed with, and you know, and I hate to say it, like Drake Bell's mother is the one that like got you ruined everything. Because this is what predators do. They learn what's going on in a family dynamic and they take advantage of whatever side of the family they know is going to benefit them. He went after the mother because the mother was not friendly with the father. And, you know, the mother was also not as keen on Drake's career as the father was. So I'll drive him to rehearsal. I'll drive him here. I'll drive him there. You know, doing all that. I mean, it just, I can't even imagine having to relive that stuff. Just unbelievable.
Well, that is going to bring us to the end of the episode. We're not going to do a Star City rating just because I don't think it'd be appropriate. But this documentary is fantastic. We highly recommend it. Obviously, if you guys have listened to us to this point, you probably watched it yourselves. But we would love to hear some of your thoughts on not only the Nickelodeon behind-the-scenes stuff, maybe like some Disney stuff that you might have heard of. So if you guys are watching on YouTube, leave a comment down below and just tell us some of your craziest stories or theories or thoughts on all this. And we really hope the best for some of these actors. You know, obviously we mentioned Drake Bell had some issues, but I really hope that like we see a resurgence in some of these guys, even some of the kid actors. Like I hope they do more Nickelodeon reunion stuff and things like that, just because now they feel safe to do it. But that is going to wrap us up for today. If you guys want more of our content, make sure you guys go to our website, themisfitfaction.com. You can also check us out on all the social media. We're on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook. Just search Cinematic Adventures or The Misfit Faction, and odds are you'll find some of our stuff. But I think that is going to wrap us up for today. As always, I'm Paul.
I'm Sean.
And we'll see you guys next time.